Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
When he joins us now, it's Dan Lobby. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Jake?
We're doing good. I would say I had a whole snafu today. We started the show with it, fantasy football. I played in a dynasty league and a new league that a spot opened up. Some hostile people in fantasy football. I didn't realize it was a thing. I like to. Are you in the world of fantasy football, Dan? Do we like fantasy? Do we play?
I do like it. I've never done the Dynasty League, but I would imagine when you get into the Dynasty League, it just takes it to another level. And I've been going back and rewatching the old FX show, The League, which is just an awesome show about a fantasy league. I could imagine it gets pretty hardcore.
Yeah, so I always operate under the sort of status here that I'm always allowed to talk a little smack. I think that's what makes fun of it. Like, that's what makes the entire thing, right? I got this team. I took it over after somebody had dropped out of the league. It's terrible. Awful. So I still come in and I talk smack. I'm trying to make trades with the guy who's the runner-up, and I'm just making jokes about him not being able to make the title. Why aren't you making a trade? And he came out hot and heavy. He was swinging. He was not having it. I didn't realize that it got so professional. Didn't realize we weren't allowed to joke around anymore.
You know what? I like it. Go big. You know, kind of set the tone. Let everybody know who you're going to be as a fantasy owner. You know, they're not going to be surprised. Go right at them. I like it. I endorse it.
That's what listen, at some point, Dan and I are going to have to get into a fantasy football league. Because as long as we can take the smack talk, we can go back and forth. I'm all in for it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best part. I mean, why do you play if you can't do that?
That's what I'm saying. But, Dan, plenty of questions to answer around the Browns right now. And a big topic coming as of yesterday, right? I talked to Ross Jackson of the Locked On Podcast Network, and he covers the Saints. And we were talking about Kenny Pickett, and he had made a comment. But the comments on social media blew up with the idea that the Browns could be after somebody like Chris Olave. Do you feel that the team is still in pursuit of a wide receiver at this current point?
I would like them to be. I don't know how aggressively they are. They would go after a receiver at this point. It does feel like they're sort of content to let Cedric Tillman see if he can be that number two guy. You know, they bring in Deontay Johnson on a little bit of a lottery ticket. I don't know how that's going to work, but it does feel like they're willing to let some of their young guys go. But it's hard for me to look at that room and not feel like they're a guy short. And if you could get a veteran like that, And I don't think they're going to give up a ton to get a guy like that, because I just don't think that's where they're at right now as a roster. But if you could bring in another veteran receiver, I would be all for it, because it just feels like, I mean, we're not that far off, an injury or two away from all of a sudden a Jamari Thrash or a David Bell or a Michael Woods. They're playing way more snaps than they should. So I would love to see them add another veteran receiver if the price were right.
Is there any restriction as to sort of what that receiver looks like, either from a financial standpoint or a production output of what the Browns would actually be willing to go out and target, do you think?
I don't know if there is. I mean, other than just the cost of what the receiver would be, I don't think they want to give up a lot of draft capital, you know, next year for what it would cost to be a guy. But this team is pretty flexible with the types of receivers they bring in. I do think they probably want someone who offers a little more versatility. Maybe some, you know, they went out and signed DeAndre Carter as a guy who can return kicks and kind of do some different things. I think they feel good with what Jerry Jeudy is and what Cedric Tillman could be. So I think any receiver they'd want to add would probably have to come with some measure of versatility, who could line up anywhere, who could maybe get the ball in their hands quickly and they can make some plays after the catch. I think that's the guy that would fit in this room.
Digging, as we go through and look at it, I told you, we talked to Ross Jackson yesterday, and he had sort of thrown out the idea that if the Saints feel that they need a veteran presence in the quarterback room, that he identified Kenny Pickett as somebody that they could target because of the obvious connection there with Kellen Moore and the Eagles last year. So if it worked on the Saints side, do you think that'd be something that the Browns would legitimately be interested in doing and moving on from Kenny Pickett for potentially, you know, a day three type of pick?
I mean, I just think it's way too early to say, because I think we've got to let this quarterback battle play out, because, you know, you've got to look at how they went and acquired Kenny Pickett. He was the first move that they made in this offseason, was to trade for Kenny Pickett. And granted, they only gave up a fifth round pick and Dorian Thompson Robinson for him, so they didn't give up a ton. But the fact that they thought he was worth actually trading for, moving that quickly to get him, I think it tells you what they think of him. So I think that right now is just a little premature, because I think they look at Kenny Pickett as a potential starter at the beginning of this year, as a guy that could win that job. And I won't be surprised if we get out there, our first practice we're going to be at in OTAs is Wednesday. I wouldn't be shocked if Kenny were the guy going first in line with those quarterbacks. So I just think it's too early to say that the Browns would trade him, because I think right now, yeah, I mean, if they played a game tomorrow, it would be Pickett or Flacco starting, and it wouldn't surprise me if right now they value Pickett more.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Is there a sort of reality there that, obviously the four quarterbacks there, and there's probably a point where you have to let go of one of them, but that Kenny Pickett's taking first-team reps when you guys get there on Wednesday, not just because, you know, Joe Flacco already knows the offense and everything else, but because that right now, the way they look at it, he actually is the top quarterback in the room.
That's kind of how I see it right now. And obviously it's May, so that could change dramatically. And it would, like, we might see one order this week. We might see another order next week. We might see a completely different order at rookie minicamp. But again, you just have to look at the assets they gave up to acquire each of these quarterbacks and the approach they took. Kenny Pickett, first move they made, gave up a fifth round pick to get him. Dillon Gabriel, drafted him in the third round. And this is a roster that could have used that third round pick in other ways. There's still holes on this roster that they could have filled with that pick. They took Dillon Gabriel with it. The other two quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, they signed for $4 million right before the offseason program started. And Shador Sanders, they passed on again and again and again until finally the value was just too great for them to pass up. So, I mean, you just have, that's where you start with. And that's kind of what I base it on is, you know, how did they go about acquiring each of these players, and what does that tell you about what they think of them? And they certainly, to some extent, prioritized bringing in Kenny Pickett as they go back to this Kevin Stefanski style of offense.
Dan, as we look at this team, and obviously going 3-14 last year, I would think everybody in the Browns front office and certainly the fans are expecting at least a minimal upgrade in terms of the overall record that you reach. If they're going to do that, they obviously have to get better in some places. Where do you think that the most obvious areas of improvement are from the Browns in 2024 to 2025?
I think it starts with being able to run the football. I just think a Kevin Stefanski offense, when we've seen it at its best, has been good at running the football. And I'm not talking like, you know, the old school 80s style, you got to run 70% of the time. Obviously, that's not how football is played now. But when this team had Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt running behind that offensive line, that Kevin Stefanski style of run game, they were always near the top of the league, always in the top five, you know, maybe one of the years that was top 10, but they were always one of the better rushing teams in the league. And I think they need to get back to being able to do that. And that's why this draft was such a quality draft for them, because your offensive line is in pretty good shape. It's obviously getting older, and they're going to have some transitions to make there next offseason probably. But you've got a good offensive line in place. So now you go out and you get Quinshon Judkins, you get Dillon Sampson, you've got Jerome Ford as a change of pace guy. I think if they're able to run the football, that's an area of their offense that they really struggled in last year. That was the worst the run game has been under Kevin Stefanski since he's been here.
Yeah, it was certainly not a great experience. Is the offensive line in their current state, do you think, able to uphold that for an entire season? And if not, have they gotten the depth behind it and able to fill in the gaps well enough?
I think they are. And obviously, DeJuan Jones is the big question mark at left tackle. Can he stay healthy? Can he handle that position? And if he can, you're in good shape with Joel Bitonio. And maybe this is the last ride with Bitonio, but he's generally been pretty healthy throughout his career. He's been getting a little banged up, but he gets out there and he plays. Wyatt Teller, for the most part, has been healthy. He's had a couple injuries here and there, but he stays on the field. And the same with Ethan Posick. So, and then, of course, Jack Conklin on the right side, who has had a couple major injuries, but if he's healthy, if as long as that doesn't happen again, he can be one of the better right tackles in the game. So I think the offensive line can hold up, and they've hedged a little bit. They go out and they get, I'm blanking on the name, the guard from Chicago. Tevin Jenkins. And then they sign a guy like Cornelius Lucas, who will be a good swing tackle for them, and that kind of hedges if DeJuan Jones gets hurt again or he isn't ready. So I do trust this offensive line this year.
Well, I certainly like to hear that. I like to see a team that can run the ball. But as we go through it, I think looking at this quarterback spot's really interesting. And Mary Kay had something interesting earlier on the station today where she called Shedeur Sanders a very likable personality in the room from what she's hearing, from her own eyes and ears and as well the teammates. And from what you've been able to inquire and what you've heard, is it similar things? And have you learned anything different about Shedeur that you didn't know coming in?
I just think everything about him just seems like he's a great teammate and seems like he understands what it takes to be a really good teammate, understands what it takes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
To build those relationships with guys. And also I think he understands, and I got this impression at the combine. And then again, when he spoke to us at rookie minicamp, that he understands like just, hey, I'm Shedeur Sanders. I walk in the locker room. He's got to earn that respect. Right. And even maybe more so because he has that Sanders name and because, you know, maybe people look at him a little side-eyed, like, who does this kid think he is? I think he understands that it's a little different for him walking into a pro locker room, how he has to kind of show guys that he understands he has to earn his way, that he's coming in as a fifth round pick, as a guy that right now is third or fourth on the depth chart probably, and he's got to earn it if he wants that job or if he wants to be on this roster. He's got to earn his way onto it. So I think he's got a great personality. I've enjoyed the times that we've gotten to hear him talk. It seems like teammates are responding to him, and I think we'll hear from some guys next week about him too. So I'm excited to hear what they have to say. But Shador is, for all the celebrity that comes with him, for all the some of the noise that comes with him, he just seems like a guy who gets it, and he seems like he's a good teammate. He understands what he needs to do, and honestly, I think he understands the work he has to put into.
Being drafted in the fifth round, obviously, I mean, we're dating back to April, but from what we saw Shador Sanders be and what everyone said, a lot of teams said that he was in the team meetings, or at least that's what's been reported. Hey, do you think that the fifth round pick on him has been that sort of humbling experience that people had laid it out to be?
I'm sure it has been, because, look, they certainly weren't expecting that to happen. And I just think it was this confluence of circumstance where, okay, he didn't go early, and then teams had to kind of judge, all right, if we don't view him as our starter and we're bringing him into the backup, do we want to bring everything along that comes with him? It isn't even necessarily his fault, right? Like, all that celebrity, all that noise around him, some of that just comes from the outside. But do you want to take that on, and do you want to deal with that? And I think that was maybe a tough sell for some teams. And, I do think it's got to be an attention grabber when you go in the fifth round and you're going to be in a situation now where you're out on the practice field and you're not taking starting reps, and you do have to wait your turn. And maybe you're not getting as many reps as you normally would being the number one guy. That has to get your attention and humble you a little bit. Now, I don't know if he necessarily needed to be humbled, but it certainly has to kind of just reinforce this idea of this is what you have to do if you want to make it in the NFL.
Dan Lobby with us here on the hotline. So, Dan, obviously we contribute to what a lot of people would be saying is the media circus surrounding Shador, both, covering him and even talking about him right now. But from the way that I've seen it, and obviously we're very early on, and I'm sure it picks up when we get to the season, it feels to me that the term media circus is something that very clearly early on in the process has been overplayed. Do you get that same feeling, or do you think that's a fair way to assess it, is sort of, a media circus or just a ton of media attention around him?
I don't know if it's been overplayed necessarily. I mean, look, that Saturday at rookie minicamp, it was sort of wild how many people were there to hear from Shador Sanders. I mean, this is a rookie minicamp. These are not huge events, but there were national people there who had come in earlier. Not sure when he was going to talk. They ended up pushing him to Saturday. And people stuck it out, and they wanted to hear from him. So he's going to bring attention. Now, I do think that's going to fade here over time, as maybe he's not getting as many reps. He's not going to talk a lot, I don't think. So I think some of that'll fade. But the reality is, with Shador Sanders, and now that he's a Cleveland Brown, I mean, you knew he was a celebrity coming in, but now you really feel it. You feel all the Colorado fans. You feel the people who have been following the Sanders family going back to their reality show days. You feel those people who are, they aren't Brown fans. They are Shador Sanders fans, and they're going to follow him wherever he goes, and they're going to defend him wherever he goes. This is, it kind of hits you when you have your first interaction with the Shador Sanders army, as I've been calling it, because they are loyal and they want to see Shador be successful.
We had Joel Batonio on the station earlier on this week, and he had talked about just the starting quarterback and what he expects from it. And he laid out basically, hey, we don't care who starts as long as it's the best quarterback in the room, leaving the table open for a rookie. Now, obviously, the schedule's out. We've looked at the difficulty that starts in those first 5 or 6 weeks. Do you think, given all of that, that a rookie quarterback would still be on the table for week one?
I think it'll be on the table, but I think it's a tough ask. I think you've got to look at that schedule where you open with Cincinnati, and then you've got Baltimore. You've got to play these NFC North games. You've got to manage a trip to London, that quick turnaround. You're playing a Vikings team that has been over there already for a week. Then you got to play Pittsburgh off their bye week. So even if you want to make a case that Pittsburgh might not be very good if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, you're still playing them at a disadvantage. I think it just screams to me you want to have a veteran leading the way in those early games instead of a rookie who has to manage all of that. Now, we have seen rookies come in and they're ready to go and they're ready to take that on. And I guess if the Browns see that in one of these two guys, they could make that decision. But that early part of the schedule, that first month, month and a half, just screams you want a veteran steadying presence in that huddle.
Another thing surrounding the quarterback position that's lit up a little bit more this week is the idea that we listened to Jimmy Haslam in the offseason sort of say, yeah, the swing and a miss on Deshaun Watson, and it felt like it was almost a door slammed closed, but it felt like more this week that door might be cracked open. Is it realistic to think there's a world where Deshaun Watson touches the field this year for the Cleveland Browns?
Is it realistic? Probably not, but I have learned to never say never with the Cleveland Browns. You know, I was talking to somebody about this earlier. I remember all the way back in 2016 when they drafted Cody Kessler, and it was supposed to be Cody Kessler's not going to see the field, you know, at all. Like, we want to redshirt this guy pretty much. He's going to be the third stringer. RG3 gets hurt in week one. Josh McCown gets hurt in week two. Cody Kessler is starting week three. Now, Deshaun Watson's not going to be ready that early, and all of this discussion would depend on just exactly when he would be cleared to play. You know, from that redo of the surgery in January, it would be a quick turnaround for him to be on the field this season. And I would be shocked if he played for the Cleveland Browns again. But I've just learned to never say never with the Cleveland Browns. So if somebody says, hey, maybe he will play for the Browns again, I've seen crazier things happen. So I just would never 100% rule everything out. Maybe put it at like a point, whatever percentage of the team Charles Woodson just bought, I'd put it that little percentage.
That's a really good way to put it. I like that. That's a good way to sample that up. Dan, I'll get you out of here with this. It's reported the Browns being one of the teams voting in favor of keeping the now proclaimed tush push from the Eagles. I ask myself why, because I look at the quarterback room and don't see a single quarterback that fits the mold of the tush push. Any clue as to why they would vote to keep it?
I don't know. Maybe they just really like, I mean, they have a lot of ties to that organization. Kevin Stefanski's a Philly guy. You know, Andrew Berry worked there for a year. Catherine Hickman came from Philly. Andrew Berry's twin brother works for the Eagles. So, you know, they're going to practice against the Eagles a couple times this for two practices this preseason. So maybe they just have an affinity for what the Eagles do. But yeah, you look at that quarterback room. I mean, Joe Flacco is big, but you don't want him sneaking. And then everybody else, I don't think they squat like Jalen Hurts squats. So I don't know if the Browns have some plans to like install their own version of the tush push or I kind of prefer the brotherly shove. I don't know why. That's my preference to call it that. But I don't know. Maybe the Browns have it up. Maybe they're like, hey, you know what? We've taken a lot of things from Philly. Let's try and take that too.
It's always on the table. If Joe Flacco runs it, though, we're probably going to need an x-ray the next day. That's going to be my guess.
Yeah, fire up that MRI machine.
All right, Dan, good stuff as always. I appreciate you. And hopefully we're talking more Browns coming here soon and probably, I'm sure, following Wednesday.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
And we're probably going to see that coming up when media is allowed in on Wednesday. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people there for Shador. But I think what carries him a long way, like we talked about even before, is just the type of person he is. And Mary Kay laying it out that we played for you back at 7:40 in the station buzz. Teammates just seem like they respond to him, and Dan echoed those comments. And I think that's a great place to start if you're looking for a quarterback and looking for somebody to take this step up. But the other interesting thing I thought that we talked about was this sort of conversation about where the Browns get better. Right, if we're going to see improvements from the Browns, which I think is fair to say, we all expect that when the final record is said and done after week 18, the Browns better not be 3-14 next year, okay? That's going to lead to some very, very bad conversations. But I think Dan hit a very good point as to where the Browns get better. And the clear and obvious point where they do it is through the run game. Because not only do I think that you've upgraded that running back room, because realistically, we all know Nick Chubb.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Wasn't what he was in years previous in last year's season. He's averaging, you know, just over 3 yards per carry. Even Jerome Ford, he averaged like 5 yards per carry, but a lot of that was on these breakoff sort of big chunk play runs where a lot of it came from. And Dan even pointed out the fact of like, yeah, Jerome's probably your change of pace back this year. You know, when you need somebody to go in there and, you know, decent receiving back. But it's probably going to hinge a lot on Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson. And I think, yes, the running back room gets better. I have high hopes for Judkins. I think Sampson in the fourth round is a really good pick. But I think a lot of where the improvement hinges is in that Kevin Stefanski scheme. We've talked to Lance Reisland how many times about it, where he goes through and he's like, listen, the way that you line up in the Stefanski scheme is going to allow him to dissect defenses, create matchup problems, and it's going to allow you to effectively run the football. And under Kevin Stefanski, in the way that Dan echoed, is that this team has continuously been a strong run team. Yes, Nick Chubb being your main back certainly helps. But I think diving into where they actually improve is just getting through and getting back to doing what they do and allowing this offensive line to recreate what they were. We've talked about it. This offensive line was meant to run block. They were built on the idea that they're going to be a strong running team, and getting back to that is not only going to help this team just in the run numbers, I think it's going to open up a lot more. Your ability to pass the ball and be less predictive as to when you're passing the ball is going to be a massive help to actually keeping drives alive, producing first downs, and putting together an offense that looks similar to the way, you know, where you had some playoff runs compared to, well, a year like last year where you win 3 games. I'm not saying that the Browns are going to the playoffs. I'm just saying the offense is going to move better than it did last year. I think that's nearly a given. No matter what quarterback of these four you have, it's pretty tough to get worse. Now, I think there's a lot of other areas of improvement for the Browns dating back to last year, but a lot of them stem off of that offensive success that you find from the run game. I imagine that we look at this and probably say, well, the defense is going to be improved. They're probably not going to play like the 15th to 20th best defense on any given week. They're probably going to play like a top 12, top 10 defense. And I think the potential to be better than that is certainly there. But you're looking at it, and just the defense last year was practically on the field for 80% of games. At least it felt that way. It felt like they couldn't buy a break. They couldn't get off the field. So you go through and you continue to have these conversations. You continue to sort of build these things up. And as you get to be able to run more plays on offense, I think the defense gets a break. They get hopefully better field position. And you see improvements. Now they have to make adjustments on their own. They can't be constantly getting burned off of just playing press coverage and MJ Emerson getting, you know, scorched over the top and Greg Newsom getting scorched over the top. But I think being on fresher legs certainly helps that. In a pass rush that's hopefully, I don't know that it's going to be significantly improved from where it was last year, but I'm thinking that it at least has a little bit more dynamic elements to it with Mason Graham, who's going to help out a lot in the run defense as well, but also just the developments of guys like Isaiah Wright and Isaiah McGuire, or Alex Wright and Isaiah McGuire. I think that that's going to help you out a ton. And the Browns need that. The offense absolutely needs to see these massive things happen. We're done. We're done watching a team that can't run the ball and that is constantly set in third and long and is going three and out. The improvements should be there. The Browns, despite the roster not really taking in a lot of massive improvements, and in fact, I'd say you look around from week one roster last year to week one roster this year, and you probably see a lot of areas where the individual talent has probably decreased in the eyes of a lot of football fans. But it should continue to rise. It should be better as an overall product. I don't know they get to 7 wins like my prediction says, but it probably falls somewhere around there and certainly higher than 3. You just can't continue to go down the route that you're in. I think that you get less out of next year, or you get something close to the equivalent of next year, and even if you're putting out 4 wins, then there's conversations. There's conversations about jobs and whether these guys need to be here, because it needs to be significant improvement. And even if it's not in the overall record, if you win 5 games, but you see a bunch of young guys step up and actually make the change, okay, maybe Kevin and Andrew can keep their jobs. But if things just go absolutely down the hole, well, things are going to have to probably see at least a little shakeup. I think that the Browns are on the right path to making a lot of the right moves. But you also need to hit on a lot. If it's going to be the 2-year turnaround, you need to hit on a lot. A good start is get the run game under control and then worry a lot about the next things next year. You can't continue to have the season that you had. You have to make more gains, and it goes back to our conversation yesterday saying, hey, you know, is it too lofty of a goal or not lofty enough of a goal to go through and just find the quarterback this year? And I think this is where a lot of those things stem from. Okay, well, if we can figure out the running game and the quarterback situation, well, you're on your way to having a pretty darn good offense. Even if it takes a quarterback in 2026, you've taken the right steps to have a good offense. And that's a good place to start. That's where you start to see, okay, well, maybe they can get back to being a playoff contender in 2026 and hopefully beginning to make some of those big runs. But it doesn't start much before then. 216-474-0092. Where do you expect improvements this year from the Browns as well? Shedeur Sanders, when he got here to where he is now, a 5th-round pick, potentially a humbling experience. In 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volmick on The Fan. Asking you guys right now at 216-474-0092, do you really think taking Shedeur Sanders in the 5th round was a truly humbling experience? Right? Because the Afternoon Guys talked to Jim Bowden a couple of days ago, and they had asked Jim relatively about, you know, whether or not, in a longtime baseball exec who had multiple times went through and gotten Deion Sanders onto his team and had been around Shedeur and is in contact with Deion, and asked him a very similar question. And he had answered yes, and he thinks this was the best possible experience for Shedeur, that this was the truly humbling experience. I think sometimes we look at these athletes and guys that have been around the game like Shedeur has and carries himself with a confidence that I like, but clearly, you know, rubs people in sometimes the wrong way. And if we're talking about these interviews not playing out the way that they should have, and him not impressing teams in pre-draft interviews and coming off in the wrong light, a fifth-round pick certainly has to start to discourage that. And he's been there, and I don't know that we've seen or even had the opportunity to see the ramifications of that. But I think when we hear things like what Dan said about his likability, and it almost makes me think that if a guy like that is even beginning to rub off on NFL players and he's starting to win the locker room and become a teammate that guys want to have around, I think that's a good place to start is, hey, even if it didn't fully humble him, NFL players in NFL locker rooms always see through the facade. You gather up at this point what is probably more than 75 guys by the time that, you know, you start to get towards the preseason. And I think you gather that many guys in the same room, even if every single one of them is not seen through a character flaw or a fake character of a player, I think at some point you begin to. And there's, you know, cocky players in the NFL. There's arrogant players in the NFL. And sometimes it works when you're the best of the best. That kind of character works. But he's coming in as QB3, QB4. And he's aware of that. The team has made that, I think, abundantly clear. But if you go through and Shador's still winning guys over while being in that position, I would think there has to be some sort of humility to it. And I was always a big proponent of a guy like that saying, hey, you don't need to actually knock him down a peg, right? You want the confidence. You want some of the swagger that comes with a guy like Shador Sanders. But if we're in team meetings and he's putting out too much of that and getting frustrated with teams when they're, you know, putting in fake installs and putting flaws into their installs, he's not recognizing it and then getting upset. Okay, maybe knocking him down a peg is the right thing. As long as you don't destroy the kid's confidence. I think the Browns, in everything that they've done publicly, have gone about it the right way. Even when you hear the phone call with Shador and the sort of recounts of the conversations with Shador to start things off, it was always the same thing. Andrew Berry said the same thing about it. It's not about where you get drafted. It's the fact that you got drafted and you're on this team now. It's not often we go back and, you know, recount, oh, this guy was a blank round pick. Unless you're the great of the great. We talk about Tom Brady and you're like, that guy was drafted with a number that starts with a 2. And it wasn't 20 and it wasn't 2. Okay, yeah, you can go back and say when the greatest of all time is sitting there and in that position, then we're going to look back and talk about it. Like even right now, how many conversations other than Amon-Ra himself do you hear Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Lions being like, well, that guy was a fifth-round wide receiver? Like, no, he's been good for multiple years now, and everybody forgets that, and now he's just good wide receiver. Nobody talks about the fact that Justin Jefferson was drafted in the 20s because nobody cares. Now you're among the top. The team that got you made a good pick, and it's all about what you do from here on out. So I think it's the right message being sent by the Browns, and one that, if you're talking about, again, having to put through and sort of humble Shador Sanders, then yes, it's the right message. You're on an even playing field with everyone else. Congratulations. You don't come in as one of the top guys. You don't come in being better than anybody else, but there's not necessarily a world where you're worse than everyone either. There's times where guys are drafted as backup quarterbacks. I think even a spot like Jalen Milroe right now, a guy who did not need to be knocked down a peg, and in fact was very much telling people he did not in the business of turning around a franchise. Even a guy like him, he comes in and it's like, I'm the backup. They have Sam Darnold. I'm the number two quarterback. Okay, and that's a battle to fight within its own and maybe a humbling experience. But I think what finds you in the perfect spot for somebody like Shador is, okay, they didn't draft me second overall. They didn't draft me in the second round. But somebody took a chance on me, and they're once again giving me a chance. Because I'm sure in a lot of those moments, as you continue to trend down the draft board time and time again, and you watch team over team continue to pass you up, it's a demoralizing thing. It's a deflating thing. And the quarterbacks drafted after him are backup quarterbacks. And that's all they are. Kyle McCord likely will not see the field in a very relevant way this year. Unless Jalen Hurts goes down. But Shador has the opportunity to go out and potentially, I think a long shot, but potentially earn the starting job by week one. That's all you can ask for. You brought me into a position to come through and compete and show you that I work hard, I can understand the offense, and I can do what's asked of me. And I can begin to become a great quarterback. I think that keeps the mentality of somebody like Shador right where it should be. Right? Which is keep the confidence, keep everything that's good going about you, but also understand that now work ethic comes into play. You're not being handed a starting job, and you're also not being deprived of one immediately. You want to go and prove it? There might be, you know, 10 weeks this year where you have to go and continue to prove it, that you're working hard and trying to be the quarterback and put in a position that really, I'm sure Shador Sanders probably hasn't been put in his life. It's like, you're not the guy. Not right now, at least. Go watch somebody else play quarterback. You're not that guy, pal. Not that guy. Yeah, like those are the moments you're getting put into. I can tell. It's all as Jackson's running through his mind right there. As soon as I said it, it's all those running through 100%. Your head. But you don't want to do that. You're not that guy, pal. Not that guy. Me? I'm that guy. Those are conversations happening in the Browns room, locker room right now. Shador Sanders. Not that guy, pal. All right, like that's exactly what's happening. No, but he's put into the prime spot. Again, where you keep the confidence high, you keep everything going to where it needs to be, but you're not killing the confidence. You're not putting the guy in a situation that he's going to resent. And I think that's a good starting point for really where they are right now as a whole. Because the Browns should not be in a spot where any quarterback you have in the room is resenting anything that's happening. He should be feeling like, oh, yeah, that's about right. Every rookie quarterback should feel like they have a chance. Every veteran quarterback should feel like they have a chance. After a year like this year that we just witnessed, I guess at this point, are we calling it last season? Doesn't matter. Hey, at this point, when we look at the 2024 season and coming off of it and saying, well, there's quarterbacks in the room, but not a ton of them. I think a lot about the process for Shador is, all right, you went out there and you were pretty much humbled. Right? It was taken back a step. You went through the moment, you went through the highs and the lows, and now you're here, and you have plenty of guys to learn to. You need to be a sponge. You need to be somebody that's intaking as much information as you possibly can. And Shador has already begun to hopefully start that process. And for the Browns' sake, hopefully getting well onto the way in that process. But like you're surrounded by, as much of us don't want to hear it, Deshaun Watson is a good mind to pick apart when it comes to the game of football. He's a veteran who's been around the league and played at the top of the game. Joe Flacco, certainly a good mind to pick apart. And even Kenny Pickett, helping you with maybe some of the lesser stuff, the early season stuff that he just went through. He's put into a position right now, both these rookies are, both Shador Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, to learn from what they have in front of them, to just absolutely intake as much information as possible and become the best possible quarterback. There's things that you do not get in every situation. The Saints, Tyler Shuck right now, well, you got Kellen Moore to pick the brain of, and that's about it. Other than that, you're damn near the elderliest quarterback in the room. Jake Haener has experience above you. By the way, not a career win in that quarterback room right now. It's not good. You don't have a ton of things to really learn from. So I think as bad as this quarterback situation is, and we look around and think that the Browns are in total just of unrepair, I think that you can look around and say, all right, well, if you're bringing a rookie quarterback into a situation and he's not going to immediately step in and be the day one starter, you've set him up in a way that should be allowing him to be successful. It shows him competition. It forces him to be a good work ethic quarterback and start him in a good spot. So many times we've gone through and looked at the quarterbacks for the Browns, and Dan Lobby brought up the idea of Cody Kessler earlier on in the hour, right? He was supposed to be a redshirt quarterback, and then all of a sudden he was starting by week three because of a couple of injuries. That's what the Browns essentially, I'm not saying redshirt either of these two guys, but they're put into a position that they're not often put into. Just give a quarterback a little bit of time to actually intake what's going on, to actually have to work for what's in front of him, and be able to do so with what a lot of people think is a very good GM and a very good head coach. It's about as good as a situation as you're going to get being drafted in the third or the fifth round in terms of actually having your career play out to be a starter. So fifth round or not, humbled or not, Shedeur Sanders is in a good spot. And I think going through the highs and lows that he has, yeah, I would say that it humbled him. And it probably leaves him in a better spot to become, hopefully, a more productive quarterback in the future as well. 216-474-0092. A truly humbling experience or not being drafted in the fifth round for Shedeur Sanders. Does he really view it that way? Get your calls on that as well. Coming up here at 9 o'clock, as we always do, get a grip. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.